Hurkun oku trap sonsun. Trap sonsun. Trap sonsun trap donsun. Түүний сонсдог хөгжим дурбулаа. Дадаж дуудан дурбулаа мууруулаа.
Hey everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. We are in my new house. It's me and CB Gold.
What's up, guys?
It's me and CB. We got a great show today. We got Michael Bisping calling in, the former UFC champion. Just all around great guy, badass actor, philanthropist, you name it. Also, another guy that everyone loves, Colby Covington, is on the show as well. I like Colby, very divisive man. We'll see what he has to say. He got a huge fight against Rafael Dos Anjos.
I don't know. He's been kind of quiet recently. I'm not sure if he'll have much to say with another soapbox forum to air his grievances.
I'm sure he'll be fine. You know, you never want to count out Colby Covington.
No, that's like 100% sarcasm.
Right. And also Sharon Jacobson, she's calling in as well. She's a really, really tough Invicta fighter, former wrestling national champion, went to University of Minnesota, I think served in the Army, I believe, if I read that right, and it's going to be a great, great show. Listen, people, marijuana, if you smoke marijuana, if you do CBD oils, which I recommend after workouts, if you do vapes, if you like flower, Speedweed is the place to go. I'm telling you, they will deliver it right to you. You don't have to leave your house. A lot of times you know you want to smoke pot, but you don't feel like getting up. You don't feel like going out. Gas is expensive. Maybe your car broke down. Maybe you don't have your car. Maybe you want to smoke and just not leave. Maybe there's a fight on and you don't want to leave and, you know, put it on DVR or TiVo. You just want to watch the fight and have it delivered to you. Okay, you order pizza, you order Chinese food. Some people order escorts. Okay, well, now you can order marijuana right to you, speedweed.com. The guy who came up with it is Gino. He's a great, great guy. Mention MMA Roasted. You get $10 off $100 or more that order. So, speedweed.com. Check it out. Great guys. Great people. Don't get a DUI. They're really cracking down in California now with people that are smoking pot and driving. It's like a huge thing right now. I think it's up 900%, which is what I just made up. But so I'm telling you, go to them and they will take care of you. Also, if you want to support the podcast, if you like the podcast, if you want to support me, you want to support what I'm doing, buy a t-shirt, MMA Roasted versus everybody. If you pick a picture of it and you send it to me, I will retweet it and it will go to 72,000 people who also like the thing. And maybe if you don't want to do that, I won't retweet it if you don't like the way you look. But MMA Roasted versus everybody, okay? All the money goes to me and my daughter who's coming in July and my wife who we're all very excited about it. So if you shop on Amazon, which my wife does, or I know a lot of people do, go to adamhunter.com first and then click on the link on my website to Amazon. It helps me out, helps the podcast out, and everybody's happy. Listen, people, sexual performance issues are more common than you think. Over 25% of new ED cases are guys under 40. That's not good, okay? It sucks. You finally got a girl home or a guy home, and you're ready to give her the time of your life, and then you can't get it up. It's embarrassing, and women don't forget that. Trust me. And they tell their friends and their friends' friends. Before you know it, you're known as, you know, Soft Jimmy or Soft Willie or guy who can't get it up or just pathetic Pat, whatever your name is.
Okay, Anderson Silva.
Or Anderson Silva or John Jones or whatever. So 40% of men by age of 40 struggle with not being able to get and maintain an erection. Maybe you get an erection and it goes away. Now the girl thinks that she's not attractive and she takes it out on you and it's just angry and it's a bad feeling. It's trust me, I've never been there, but I'm sure it's bad. Okay, so why do guys turn to weird solutions or do nothing when they can turn to medicine and science? You get a headache, you take an aspirin, right? You get sick, you go to the doctor. Well, now we will take care of your boners. Okay, people? We'll make sure that you get a throbbing hard-on that you deserve. And even the world's greatest actor can't fake one. Trust me. Bruce Willis can't fake a boner. I'm not sure he's the world's greatest actor. But, you know, listen. Go to 4hims.com, a one-stop shop for hair loss, which I could use, sex, skincare, sexual wellness for men. Finally, we got one. Thanks to science, ED can be optional. And Hims connects you with real doctors with medical-grade solutions to treat ED. Well-known generic equivalents to name-brand prescriptions to help you combat ED. No snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements. Prescription solutions backed by science. Science, people. Blinding me with science. It was a great song back in the 80s. So, no waiting room. How annoying is that? You go to the doctor, you see your ex, and now she's guessing what you have. No awkward doctor visits, no lines. You can save hours by going to 4hymns.com. It's so easy. Answer a quick few questions and chat with a doctor for confidential review. And products are shipped directly to your door. Just like Speedweed, okay? But severe ED isn't just an issue for rich old guys in bathtubs. No. It affects men in their 30s and 40s. It's tough out there, people. Be prepared. Being your best means performing your best. No in-person doctor visits. Not anymore. It's erectile without the dysfunction. It's hard. Made easy. Say hello to your little friend. So, try Hims for a month today for just $5. We'll get you started for just $5 while supplies last. See website for full details. This would cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or pharmacy. Go to 4hims.com/MMAROASTED with ED capitalized. That's forhims.com/MMAROASTED. 4hims.com/MMAROASTED. So, yes, check it out, people. CB, you look very confused. How are you, man?
I'm good, man.
What's
I'm
new?
I'm just glad to be back.
Good to have you back. Good to have you back.
Just been busy.
Hold on one sec. So have you got the wedding date set? What's going on?
Yeah, wedding date set. The venue, the deposit has been put down, and I'm finalizing my portion of the guest list this weekend, and the save the dates will be going out within a few weeks. My girl's designing them right now. We also did the weekend of Valentine's Day, we did our engagement photo session up in Mammoth.
Oh, God, that's so cute, but I those were the worst. I feel so dumb doing those photos.
Adam, let me just tell, like, okay, so I went through the whole process, and it was like finding somebody, picking the spots, and we went up to Mammoth to do it in the snow. So it was like 40 degrees outside. My girl and I are like, hey, we'll go out. It's only like an hour and a half. And I'm thinking, okay, I'll wear like, I don't know, whatever, like the wife beater, the t-shirt, a long sleeve, and then a long sleeve button down. We were out in the cold the whole time, and we were like walking through. It was snow, but it was like warm, so it was like sludge. Or like, it was just shitty and like getting all over our shoot. My girl and I both probably fell at least like 3-4 times.
That's cute though.
Trying to make it graceful, but at the same time. But yeah, the photos are back. They're pretty good, but we're excited, man. It's going
to
be fun.
Congratulations, man. You deserve to be happy.
Yeah.
The first time in your life.
Yeah, exactly.
So now I had heard you were banned. The UFC banned you from graphing people.
Okay, so it's not just me, and I can't say it's banned because I had a friend get me stuff done last weekend in Brooklyn. So
right.
I can say in terms of Vegas and for what was told to friends of mine that were out there graphing, that the UFC security, because of a few things that happened.
What happened?
All right, there's a bunch of stories, a few things happened, and that the UFC security is now telling hotel security, anybody getting autographs, photos, whatever, they need to just tell them, like, you gotta go.
Do they have a picture of you? Is there a picture? Like, do not let this guy in with a pen?
No, but the dude I was complaining about a few shows ago when I was on he knows my face, he knows my best friend's face. And we kind of just stick together.
You don't think maybe you guys should go incognito? Like, you should have
there
have
is
like
no incognito anymore. It was everybody.
You don't have like a wig or something you could put on, or like a shave, or put on like
dude,
a.
Dude, I had hair. Don't you remember last time you saw me? I had hair.
Put on like a fat suit or something, or nothing?
I've been trying to eat to put on that fat suit.
All right, there we go.
No, I think, and just really quick, the last one that was in Vegas, the 222, which was, I think, the McKenzie's debut, Cyborg Kunitskaya. I had a room set up, paid for everything. I was going to Vegas. You knew I was going to Vegas. I found out Tuesday night that UFC security told hotel security they can't do it anymore due to people crossing boundaries of invading fighters' privacy. And
didn't you show up at someone's sauna? They were cutting weight, and you showed up at someone's room or something?
No, I was invited up to Brian Ortega's room at 214.
Okay. It was just you and him?
No, his coach brought me up, and it was the whole team up there.
Okay, got it.
But yeah, so I'm not really going to Vegas much anymore.
Damn.
But there is the LA event coming up.
Oh, yeah, right.
That
right.
got announced.
Right. So I had a very stressful night last night. So, okay, first of all, I'm converting my garage into a wrestling room. Because so that way I can stay home with the baby, coach from my garage, because people are always asking me, hey, do you do privates? How much of that? Kids in my team want to wrestle, because it's only twice a week, and we want to do more off-season. I'm like, you know what? I moved into a place where it's a huge studio in the back. So my friend, who just got like fired from coaching wrestling in Palisades, those were his mats, which is a whole other story, but that's a whole thing, another podcast to get into. I'll actually get him on, my friend Aldo. So he's like, hey, man, actually, we have two layers of mats on top of each other, and it's actually bad because they're bubbling them up. So it'd be great. You can actually, if you want them, you could have them. So I'm like, great. So I got a U-Haul, 20 feet U-Haul with like my friends. We go to the high school with a U-Haul. They let us in, and then all the wrestlers helped us load it. So it's me and 25 high school wrestlers and my buddy.
Yeah, but these mats are fucking massive,
right? But then I'm like, okay, guys, are you guys going to help me get them back? And they're like, oh, sorry, I got homework. I got SATs. So then I drive back, and it's just me and my friend Aldo and my friend Chris. Now there's three of us. So I'm texting everyone I know, hey, can you help me move wrestling mats?
When you texted me, I thought even, like, just the mats themselves, I thought you were talking about like a bunch of like 5x10s.
Everyone thought I was kidding. Everyone's like, you have the wrong number. Is this a joke? Well, where's the punchline?
No, I knew you were serious, but I thought they were like 5x10s, which you can carry over your shoulder. These things are like...
Yeah, they're like official high school wrestling mats.
They're as round as a cement mixer.
Right, they're huge. So now we get back here, and now I have a U-Haul, which took me an hour to back up into my garage, kind of. But no way to get the mats out.
Yeah, how the fuck did you back it?
Well, luckily, my friend's like, go to Home Depot, pay some of the workers, they'll do it. It'll cost you $20. So we went out there. We got three Mexican dudes.
Is this the Austin Powers movie all over again?
Three Mexican dudes. I think two of them were drunk. They were having fun. They come. They move these things in like 10 minutes. I threw them like $100. They were a tip. They were super fucking happy. And they moved it. But now my wife comes home and she's like, what the fuck did you do to the garage? Like, the garage was so nice. It was a studio. I'm like, listen, it'll look better. This is just not mounted on the walls yet. We haven't made them in yet. But she's like, I'm having a bridal party here or something. So now she's mad. Bridal shower for her friend. She's throwing it for her. And she doesn't want wrestling. I'm like, we'll have them wrestle. That'll be great. You can have the girls. Yeah, that didn't go over well. So then,
how they pick the bridesmaids. Like, whoever gets maid of honor is the one that lasts till
exactly.
Have a little wrestling tournament in the bag.
Let's do it. So then last night we have, you know, my two cats, Carmen and Frankie, are cool. They're older. She has a younger cat, Lemon. And this cat is so curious.
Is she sour?
No more jokes for 10 minutes. Okay, so I open the door and the cat just runs out, right? Every time you open the door, he runs out, which is so fucking annoying. You have to go catch the cat. Every time so now I came in and the cat was, I came in 2 nights ago, the cat was in the backyard. I had to get back there. Maybe I wasn't looking, it ran out. I go to grab it, it like Wolverines my whole arm, just gushing blood, this fucking, and then it felt bad, it was kissing me, but I'm like, all right, yeah, I get it, right? So, so then last night I come home after the U-Haul thing, all right, the U-Haul's still here. I take my friends out to Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles, right? I pay. We come in, we can't find Lemon. We search everywhere. Lemon. 2 hours looking. Now the whole house is all fucked up. Drawers are open. Can't find the cat. Now it's 2 a.m. I'm walking around the neighborhood going, Lemon. People think I'm like the worst fruit salesman in the history of Lemon. Here, Lemon. And now that didn't work. So someone's like, put your cat litter outside. So now I'm putting the cat litter outside. And I buy all this wet food. And I put all around my house wet food. So now there's 20 fucking cats. I come out at 5 a.m. There's 20 cats eating around my fucking house. None of which are Lemon. Every cat in the neighborhood thinks it's fucking Cinco de Mayo at my house. They're all having a fucking party.
I only knew she was missing when I got here, but this is... No, I can't even deal with this fucking story.
Cats
right
everywhere.
Now.
Everywhere this fucking, everyone's like high five. They're having sex. It's a fucking pussy parade in my fucking house, but not Lemon.
Oh my God.
So now I'm like, my wife's crying. We lost the cat. I'm fucking like, oh man, this is my fault.
I'm more worried about you walking around the neighborhood yelling Lemon.
Yeah, everyone thinks like, oh, that's a weird thing to try to sell at 3 a.m. So now we wake up, it's 8 a.m, Lemon's underneath the bed. This fucking cat. Like, so now we're, how the fuck, so we found this, there's a cabinet that you can get underneath the house, that, and then you can get out.
And of course, fuck the humans, let the cat find it.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah. And now
did
I can't,
you know?
Find it. No, so now we boarded it up, we hammered it in the cabinet, right? You can't open the cabinet, I think it's a fire hazard, but now... I can't find her again. I don't know where she went. I went to return the U-Haul, and the cat's not there. So now I got to find the cat today, which is fucking annoying. And then on top of that, my wife installs this thing called the Ring, yep, which is so annoying.
My mom has it.
So you come, and then every time the wind blows, I get a notification.
There's motion
at my door, right?
Yep.
And then, of course, everyone in the neighborhood is like some kind of community. So someone writes, four packages have been stolen. I'm like, I think it's from my house. I'm like, fuck. I run home. It's like somebody a mile and a half reports this. Like, put it at your house, the packages got stolen, not fucking just random four pack. Someone's car got broken into. I think it's all my shit. But anyway, so then there's a button that you could press when they come that, like, it's like fake barking, like woof 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 woof.
Really?
Like, yeah. So if a robber comes, they hear woof woof. Like, that's gonna. And it's,
I didn't know it had that feature.
It had that feature. You could do a bar. I if you really want to get people, they should have like, I'm a vegan. Then they'll fucking run away. You know, like,
I do CrossFit.
You know, something like Colby Covington lives here. Or something that, like, yeah. So that was that. So now that's what, anyway, that's what I've been dealing with. Anyway, so. MMA news. Let's talk about, so today you got Made Holly Holm is fighting Megan Anderson. UFC 225, where is this?
Chicago.
Oh, Chicago.
CM Punk is back.
Against Michael Jackson.
Yes.
I think the actual, the one that died has a better chance now. Like the actual, I hope, I like Mike Jackson. I hope he wins. But fuck, man,
if he loses, his in-cage career's over. He's sitting there going, yeah, that was a great fight. I'm going back to journalism now. Like, that, no.
Well,
you can't lose to CM Punk. You can't.
He's a pretty fit guy, and he's a pretty big guy.
I think it depends on where they put him on the card, though. Will he be warming up, or will he be covering the other fights before him?
Yeah, right. I hope he wins. I hope Michael Jackson wins. But, man, they look hard for this guy to fight. This should not be happening. I don't care. It should not be happening. This is not fair to people that actually deserve to be in the UFC. Well, it's not fair for my man at the PFL.
Rusev?
No. He's not fighting. You know, the kid that from Freeport, Long Island. We have him on the podcast all the time. He beat Lance Palmer. You know what I'm talking about.
Not the bull.
Andre the Bull. Yeah.
Oh, Andre
16
the bull.
And 0. He can't get in the UFC right now. But they're putting in Mike Jackson. Askren's the obvious choice. But
are you also seeing this, like, thing between Connor and Floyd in the cage of, like, no kicks, only clench, no... I like, keep seeing it, not seeing it, keep seeing it, not seeing it.
It's becoming like Ellis Mania. Like,
it's so dumb. It's so
either
dumb.
Either you fight or you don't. What is this, no kicking,
I don't,
sprawling?
Yeah, this is what I don't understand. There's no takedowns, but clench is there. I don't know if it's real, if it's not real.
It's not real.
It's
it can't
just
be real.
Stupid.
It should be go back to UFC.
Eventually, it'll probably be fucking
It should
real,
be UFC though. 1 rules, where, like, everything goes. Like, biting, headbutting.
Between Connor and Floyd?
Yeah, just have it be a real fight.
They should just call Victor Ortiz. He'll get in fucking faster.
He's been, like, going to comedy shows and heckling people recently, Victor Ortiz.
I definitely wouldn't want to, like, try to fuck with him as a heckler, though, because he's crazy and he'll hurt you.
So Holly Holm, Megan Anderson, I think Holm takes this. I think Anderson, I think, does... I mean, you got to go striking-wise. Yeah, Megan has more power.
Holly's going to be more volume, more counters. Megan's going to be power.
But... Cyborg had more power than Holly Holm. She didn't get hurt.
True.
I mean, Holly Holm is a world champion boxer, like 11
True.
Times or something. Megan Anderson is a MMA fighter with good boxing. There's a difference. I mean, look, you could then make the argument that, hey, well, Joanna Jędrzejczyk is a world champion kickboxer, and Rose is a MMA fighter with good kickboxing, but she was also a black belt at age like 3 or something, or some kind of prodigy karate champion.
It's hard to say. It's a good debut fight.
But
for
why
Megan.
Isn't Holly fighting anyone her weight? What? She weighs 135.
Maybe 45. 45 seems easier. 35, she seems at 35 like she had to be more active, fight week especially.
She's 0-2 at 145.
What is she at 135?
Well, she beat Ronda Rousey.
She's 1 and...
No, she's not.
I'm talking about, like, since, like, the whole I'm the champ. Since losing to Misha, she lost that belt. She lost to Shevchenko. She beat Betch Kohea.
She lost to Jermaine Durandamé in a
strange fight. But that was 45.
I'm saying, at Cyborg...
So 35, she's like 1-2, 1-3.
Didn't she beat someone else? I think she beat someone else.
At 35?
I don't know. Yeah.
She just get a win?
Too bad it's not a computer for us to look any of this shit up.
Right?
Isn't this your fucking job, dude?
It might be. I'm thinking about something. I'm thinking about, like, bigger MMA UFC news that came this week
like
that I'm still confused about. this new ESPN NBC deal. There's a new weight. There's two new weight classes. There's exclusive fighters to different networks.
Is that true? I've heard. I talked to someone at ESPN who said.
I've heard that, like, not everything. To be realistic, it was featured on like Therese Owens dot whatever that website is. But then I'm hearing things of like some portions of it are true. The TV deal could be true with the money. And then that there could be, you know, they're trying to make it like boxing where it's like exclusive fighters and that there is a 165 men's and atom weight women's coming. I don't know what to make of it. And I don't know if it's legit.
All right. 165 men's, great idea. Okay, because and then you got to make 175 and then 185. You can't.
I think
just
they're only gonna do. I think it's gonna be like a trial period of 165 men's, 105 women's.
But then what? They're gonna have 55, 65, 70. They're not gonna go. They're gonna go up 5 pounds.
That's the weird thing.
No, they can't
unless
do that.
They change 70 to 75 and just start doing.
Which is what they should do. That's what they should do. At 65 is great because you got guys like Kevin Lee. You got Colby.
We're like right. You have on the cusp.
You got guys that are almost like too small for 170, too big for 55. If you could put Cerrone in that category, you could put Dos Anjos in there. I think that's a good call. 105 women's. As much as I'll watch it and I like it. I don't know if the interest is there.
I don't think it is
amongst hardcore fans or even casual fans. Expect casual fans, hardcore fans also. Which that's but at the same time. Would I watch it? Sure. Would I watch Jessica Penne at 105 and Jean Yu Fry, I think, is there, and that Amber Brown girl? They're all smaller girls. They all have exciting
Michelle
fights.
Michelle Waterson came from Waterson. 105.
Yeah, of course I'll watch it. Do I think that...
they're going to need a star.
Then you got five, you got 105. But you know what? Maybe there's more girls at 105 than I think. I mean, Invicta seems to be pretty good at 105.
Well, that's because they're kind of the exclusive with the weight class. The worry I have for 105 is the same thing that 115 went through. You know, the season of Tough was cool. Carla came out and won the belt, and that was cool. But, like, it didn't really take off till people saw Joanna, like, tearing people's faces off.
Well, Carla wasn't exciting. Not an exciting fighter. I like an effective fighter.
No,
but
and that hurts the division, same as, you know, the flyweights for men.
What I do think... Different than the flyweights for men, you have knockout guys at 125. You had John Lineker, who was knocking the fuck out of people. Yeah. Even John Dodson. At 115, it seems there's more knockouts at 135 than at 115, I believe. I'd have to check the stats. Once again, I'm making shit out of my ass.
I'm pretty sure that the 115 women's is very low on knockouts.
And I think the 105 will be even lower.
Yeah.
It does seem that power seems to travel the harder you... are the harder you hit. Not always, but it does seem that. And with women fighting, a lot of the big issue that people have with women fighting a lot of times is there's not those knockouts. I don't have that problem. I'll watch it. I'll watch any fight.
I'll watch it.
But yeah, I mean, there are things that probably should be done before that. At the same time, fuck it. Why not?
They're cutting pay-per-view down to 4 a year, supposedly, and everything else is going to be a fight night.
I guess that's good.
And that's why they're adding these weight classes to kind of, there's going to be so many more free cards.
Great.
And only 4 pay-per-views a year, which I'm actually okay with because 65 now a pop plus tax. So $70 a pop for the pay-per-view every month. It's a lot of money. Throwing $65 at the Australia one that got butchered before it even happened.
Oh, yeah.
And like, it's hard to do, but as a fan, you know.
Here's what I don't understand. On a different note, tomorrow night there's a great Bellator card.
Yes, there is,
and nobody is talking about it. I didn't even know the card was happening until I got an email from Bellator today saying weigh-ins are official. I mean, what is going on with Bellator?
They're focusing on one thing.
Who? What?
The heavyweight Grand Prix,
which is
that's all they care about.
A mistake.
It is, but that's all they care about.
I mean, you've got first of all tomorrow you got Michael Chandler. Is fighting Brandon Gertz. Great fight. Gertz is a tough motherfucker. And
should have been Primus rematch, but Primus got hurt.
I think Gertz is a way harder fight than Primus. Primus kind of got lucky that Chandler's leg just fell off in the middle of a fight. That was not the norm at all. I think Gertz is a grittier. I haven't seen enough of Primus to say that, but because he is undefeated. But I'm just saying that Gertz is no walkover.
Gertz is the dude that fucking pretty much walked through Melvin Gallard in I think what was his Bellator debut or like the second fight of Gallard's Bellator run. I mean, Gertz is a tough, gritty dude. It's just his chin is not always there, and he's very injury prone as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And then also, who else is on the card tomorrow?
You got AJ McKee coming back, and he actually has a name to fight this time in Justin Lawrence.
Ooh, wow.
The American kid out of Alliance, San Diego.
Wow.
You know, Jeremy Stevens' protege, Dominic Cruz' protege, always in the backs. You know, he was on that tough season. I think he was on Tough Live with Chiesa and them.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't do well in the UFC. Nobody really heard from him since then. Has been making a little bit of runs, you know, here and there. And now finally gets a big name opponent. And AJ McKee kind of gets the same thing. I think this is a great strikers battle.
And, AJ McKee is looking unbeatable. And people that train with him just say amazing things about him. I mean, people that train with him are like, whoa. And now they got Pico in that camp.
Yeah.
So I can't even imagine how much better McKee. And then, you know, McKee Sr. I like, too.
And you still got that, Joey Davis there?
Joey Davis is there.
Joey Davis is turning into a fucking monster.
Yeah, that whole that camp is turning into
the body shop. They're calling it the Takeover 2018.
Really?
Yeah.
Who's calling it that?
AJ. And so they've got a t-shirt. They handed it to me as like a fight week from when Pico fought Shane. And it says like the Body Shop Bellator Takeover 2018, and it lists all their guys that are in Bellator. It's pretty cool. It's a cool shirt, but
nice.
AJ is definitely the biggest mouth of the camp, and you know,
but it's
undefeated.
Also, you know, think about AJ McKee is a guy that people should be getting excited about, and
yes.
I'm excited, you're excited, his dad's excited, but no one else is fucking excited about him. And I'm sorry, but that's the truth. And I'm not saying it to discredit AJ McKee. I'm saying
it has nothing to do with him.
To me, it's the Bellator operation. It's the whole machine. It's what is going on. You got all these guys like the Caldwells and the McKees, the undefeated guys. Even that James, whatever the fuck his name is, that kid from Ireland.
James Gallagher.
You got Ed Ruth. You got a bunch of guys.
What about the fact that nobody could watch Ben Henderson versus Roger Huerta last week? Regardless of they're both like 100, it was like delayed and it was out of Italy or it was out
Hungary.
Of some,
you couldn't watch it?
I think it was like a day delayed or something like that. Regardless of whether the fact that people think, oh, they're older over the hill, Roger Huerta and Ben Henderson,
yeah.
Those are two of the biggest names in the lightweight history.
Yeah.
Why can't we watch this?
Who else is on the card?
Kimbo Jr.
I'm not sold on him. I'm sorry.
He's fighting the guy that just beat Conry Gracie, Devin Brock. So this is going to be a major step up in
competition.
All right,
I got Devin
Brock.
And I like Kimbo Jr., but and I heard he hits hard. But I don't know, man. If it wasn't Kimbo's son, we wouldn't be talking about him. But who knows?
It's a low.
That first fight, he quit.
Card.
He quit the first fight. I saw him. I gave him a chance. The first
the
fight
one
I
where
saw,
he got submitted.
But he gave up. He gassed out. He gave up. And I was like, come on, man. But the second fight, he looked good. He looked good the second fight. So who knows? Who knows? I'm just saying that, like, you know.
There's a couple just random names on the prelims.
Who?
But,
no, some good. Josh Sample's on the prelims?
Josh Sample's on it. Rebecca Ruth's on it. Derek Anderson, my boy.
Mm.
He's on there.
On the prelims?
Yeah. And it's funny. The name that I was
didn't
saying.
Did he fight for a title recently, Anderson?
Derek Anderson?
Yeah.
No, he. I think it was like a year or two ago. He fought Syed Awad, fight of the night at the forum.
Yeah.
That shit was. They beat the hell out of each other. It was awesome.
Who got the win?
I don't remember. It was close. It was like a split. Adam Sella is on
Adam
the
Sella, the guy that got knocked out by Uriah Hall.
That's his like
in one of the worst knockouts ever.
You can't
I've
be typecasted in MMA, but like
fuck.
Nobody will ever remember him for like any of his achievements or any. It'll always be
see. This
you're
is
the dude
this
that got
also
the
this is on the Bellator prelims, right? Which. You could actually watch for free.
ParamountNetwork.com.
On the Bellator app, okay, which nobody knows about. I didn't know about it until I accidentally downloaded it. And so, number one, these guys like Josh Sampo, Derek Anderson, Adam Sella could really all be on an undercard of a Bellator UFC, a Bellator Oklahoma, that fucking
Thackerville
or something where you can see these guys.
Connecticut.
And instead, they put that girl who I get is hot.
Anastasia Yonkova.
No, not her. Well, the other one. The other one they put on, no, recently, they put the boxer girl on.
Heather Hardy.
Yeah, that was like, didn't know how to defend, I mean.
She just wears that little, like, tight little bathing suit
of
Wayans,
and
that's
on.
Like. I
don't know.
Adam,
I probably would rather watch her than Adam Sella, to be honest. But okay, fine.
But then again, on the same token of everything you're talking about right now, the following week's Bellator, other than Fedor and Mir that they're pumping to the moon,
yeah.
The rest of that card is guys that most people don't know.
Let me see that card.
Read the rest of the main card. There's
Emmanuel
two
Sanchez
names on there that people know.
Sam Cecilia, that's a good fight.
That's a good
John
fight.
John Salter's doing really good against Javier Lovato. Neiman Gracie. I guess he's a Gracie.
Assume so.
And Dylan Danis, everyone's gonna watch.
Everybody's gonna watch.
Your point there isn't great.
No. I'm not saying that. I'm saying they're not promoting the rest of the card. Nobody knows about it. Everybody knows Fedor and Mir. Nobody knows there's four or five fights under it that are gonna be good
here's
fights.
Here's the problem when you have like, and it's not just Bellator; it's the UFC too. The problem is when you have stats people, right? You have people that come into a company and they look at numbers. They look at numbers of like, oh, well, you know, Fedor did 6 million buys and this one did 10 million buys. And, you know, Mir was in the top three UFC grossing heavyweight fights of all time. And they're looking at, you know, Mir versus Brock. But they're not looking at like.
Looking at two
they're not looking
that,
at times. They're just looking at numbers.
It could have been
so
Brock.
So they go, oh, okay, well, we'll put that on us because Mir Brock did. But it's like you have to. Have some people, and some people in at Bellator, I've worked with a lot of those guys too, and a lot of those guys who I've worked with love the sport, and they're big fans, and I'm not saying them, but there is a problem. Also, when you have, with the UFC, when you have people like WME, when that purchase goes, they go, oh, well, CM Punk's going to sell a fucking 20 million, you know, or, you know, in wrestling, he did these numbers, or this guy did that number, or let's put Bisbing versus GSP, but they're not looking at, like, they're not coming at it from a fan and from a person who knows the sport. Person who knows the sport knows also that, yes, you might not do amazing numbers if you're pumping out AJ McKee and Darian Caldwell and James Gallagher and that Sanchez on a card, but you're building something and they're going to see great fights. So the next time, now you got stars, okay? Yeah. But when you try to import stars already, and you start to go, okay, and other people sort of leftovers, but like, hey, okay, well, you know, this guy's 0-4 in the UFC, and then all of a sudden they just put up Roger Huerta as the main card. You're not building. You have to build from the ground up. You don't build from the top down. And, you know, it's sort of being short-sighted. Granted.
So I was trying to pay a fighter $500.
What?
So I was trying to pay a fighter like $250 or $500.
Oh, on the undercard?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all kinds of shit. I mean, but I get it. Look, I'm not running the company, and if I was, I probably wouldn't be good at it because I would just put on my friends and stuff like that. But I don't know. Maybe I would. I don't know.
Either way, their promotion is not based around a full card.
But the UFC did the same shit. Like I knew when I watched that kid last week in the UFC, the kid that had that great fight, Kyle versus...
Kyle Botniak and... Zabit Magomed Sharapov.
First time I saw Zabit, I go, this guy's a star. And I told him, I said it 5 or 6 times. I go, this dude right here is going to be tremendous.
He's the weirdest looking dude ever.
But he looks like
he's...
Little Dicky. I call him Little Daggy, right? So he was the first card on the prelims, on the UFC prelims that night before McGregor came in and started throwing shit, okay? So that to me is like, no. Now that he was... All that happened, everyone sees this guy. People are now Zabit fucking hardcore fan. Like, holy fuck, this guy's gonna be huge. And I feel like, in a way, that's what you gotta do. You gotta be able to see that and go, okay, this is who we wanna put in front of people. Yeah, this guy's 13-1. He's a national champion wrestler. He's got amazing boxing. He's got great sambo. He trains with Khabib. He's won his last 10 fights in a row. The way he's throwing people around is insane. Let's give him a shot. Okay, and not have to put whatever. So anyway,
that's what they're doing with that Israel Adesanya dude.
Yeah, that's smart.
Wasn't main carded, puts on a fucking beatdown of a dude, and now they're rushing him to main card on
good.
An event on a free Fox
good.
Card.
Good. I mean, there's a chance it might blow up in your face. We've seen it happen with somebody like that guy from England with the black guy from England with the mohawk that does all those flashy.
Mark Jacasey?
Yeah, and then all of a sudden they put him against a wrestler, against Dracar Close, and Dracar just beats, you know.
On Daniel Hooker.
Yeah, and... yeah. I mean, it could blow up in your face, but if it doesn't, you know, then all of a sudden you're making a star. Now, I got to say, since you have 5 Conor McGregor tattoos.
Six.
And what's your thoughts?
If you noticed, I stayed off Twitter weekend.
What are your thoughts about this guy?
I mean, it's not a good look.
Oh, really? Wow, are you sure? You want to put that out there? Go on. Go on.
You like ask me a question, I'm getting ready to answer the whole thing. And then you're like, whoa, you're
Oh, wow.
No, it's most people are like, are you still a diehard? Are you going to, you know... It's fucked up what he did. It was stupid. He also misinformation kind of fucked things up.
What misinformation?
That he didn't know that everybody was on the bus instead of just Khabib and the team.
He thought Khabib had his own bus?
I don't know what he thought. I didn't ask him. Okay, I haven't called him.
All right.
He's not answering my calls.
How do you know he didn't know everyone was on the bus?
It didn't seem like he knew.
So you're just saying he didn't know.
No, it seemed that way, and from the interviews and whatever, that he was just looking for Khabib.
What interview?
But the other problem is, well, they interviewed, you know, Artem and...
Okay.
Conor got arrested, okay? It sucks. Is his career over? I don't think so. Dana was super pissed the day of. Next day, not as pissed.
Are you going to get a tattoo of one of those...
No, not the best publicity for him, for his name, his brand, or the UFC, but...
What was he throwing again? What were those called?
It was a dolly. He was throwing a
hand card. Are you going to get a dolly tattoo on you?
No.
Why not?
Because I'm not.
Well, have you thought about it?
No.
Oh, all
right. My favorite part of the whole thing was Nate Diaz's response on Twitter.
Oh, he stuck up for him.
He stuck up for Conor.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he was kind of right.
No, he was
you
not
You punked
right.
fucking Artem when nobody was there... To fucking defend him.
First of all, you're right.
I heard he slapped him in the face.
He didn't slap him. He kind of like gave him a little bit. He didn't slap him. It wasn't like a slap.
And I thought I saw in the video he put his hand, like kind of put his hand on
the same time, you know, yeah, he was wrong, but that's not how you react to it. And if you really wanted to fight Khabib, there are other ways to fight Khabib, like in an octagon or when there's not cameras. Or he made it all about him and not about it. Got our time thrown off the card. And
he's got a lot of fucking chances. Yeah, it's screwed up. Card.
Like fuck. So you're against what? Have you wrote a letter to him and like or email to Conor?
No,
saying that you're disappointed in his behavior.
No.
All right. I'm just saying. Maybe you know. Maybe he wants to hear from you.
I mean, look, I'm not condoning any of his actions, but I've done some pretty fucked up things in my life close to what he did.
No, you did not.
Yes.
What have you done?
Bats to glass windows while people are still sitting in the car.
Oh come on!
Let's not get into my like post high school rebellion. I'm not bringing up instances. I'm just saying, you know, like yeah, he made a really really bad fucking decision. But like I've been there. You know, we've all done really stupid.
You've not been there.
We've all done really.
You've never walked into a UFC event with an entourage of 20
well,
fucking
no, I
Irish
don't have
people
the plane to get
after
me there.
After a private jet. You've not been there.
I've not been in that exact position, but all right. We've all done our rebellious and shitty
all
things.
All those stupid things, that what you're
saying? Fucking illegal things that, you know, he just did it in front of a shit ton of people that
I
could see it.
He's lost me as a fan.
You were never a fan.
I'm a fan. Well,
you were a fan when he wasn't fighting Nate or Eddie.
I'm a fan of the way he fights, and I'll always be a fan of the way he fights. But as a human being, I think he just needs a wake up call.
Well, he's the same as John Jones. It's a young kid who had nothing.
Oh, stop!
Comes up as
there are
great.
A lot of young kids that have nothing that do great things.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying because this is apples to apples. Because Jones is in the UFC. Jones has done this shit just worse. I'll take a dolly into a fucking bus window over hitting a pregnant woman.
Yeah,
and
I'll do that over a fucking war machine. But what are we?
I'm not generalizing.
Why don't we look higher? You know,
no, I'm not. But this is like the John Jones trail. He's poor. He's young. He gets a shit ton of money. He thinks he's invincible.
There are a lot of people
not.
Who are poor and get money.
I'm saying he's not invincible. It's the same agreement I've given you about John Jones. I'm a fan of his fighting.
Yeah, it sounds like you're making excuses for the guy.
No, it doesn't. Because yeah, I'm not.
So we're calling Michael Bisping, one of the best fighters alive.
I'll stay out of this conversation.
Great guy. Good dude.
Hello.
Hello, Michael Bisping.
Hey, what's up, Adam?
How you doing, man?
I've let it bed. Very, very tired.
Oh, sorry, man.
You're good. You're good, buddy. You're good. I totally forgot about this. But, yeah, man. Thanks for sending me a text.
No problem, man. You have a tough practice today or something? Or
say again?
Did you have a tough practice today? A tough workout?
No. I'm actually in Glendale, Arizona. Are we on the podcast? Are we live?
Yeah. We're not live. You're allowed to curse. Do whatever you want. So
yeah, sure, man, sure, yeah, fire away. No, I'm in Glendale, Arizona. Flew out here last night for the fight, so we were doing like some kind of skit, if you will, for Fox Sports. We were out on a ranch this morning riding some horses and stuff like that.
Oh, nice, man, that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Who do you think's gonna win that fight, Gaethje or Poirier?
I mean, I'm a fan of both guys. You know, it's a pretty amazing fight, but I got to go with Dustin Poirier. I think if he utilizes some movement, then he can win that fight. Gage is pretty static, you know, he likes to stand there and just brawl people, which is awesome. It's fantastic to watch. But I think Poirier, if he fights a smart fight and utilizes a lot of movement, he can win it. But you never know. Maybe he'll just stand there toe to toe, which isn't the smartest thing. So we'll see. I don't know. Jesus Christ, what do I know?
Well, you know a lot, man. I enjoy watching you. I heard that you still want to fight again, but then do you still want to fight again? If so, who are some of your potential opponents?
You know what? To be honest, I actually have no idea if I want to fight yet. I honestly don't. I mean, obviously, I love fighting. And I'd love to do it again. But, you know, I've achieved everything I wanted to achieve. So I'm still trying to make my mind up if I want to do it. I mean, you know, I had a long career. I've had a lot of fights. I won the belt. I've, you know, traveled all over the world doing it. So, I put a bit of money away for kids. So I've achieved everything I wanted to achieve, you know, and I feel like, I've done enough fighting in my life. One more would be nice. But as I say, I honestly don't know if I want to do it or not. I'm focusing on a lot of other things outside the octagon right now. So we'll see, Adam, to be honest. And that's not me trying to not give you an answer. I honestly just don't know, you know?
Yeah, I honestly, I was thinking about that. I'm like, what more do you have to prove? You have nothing to prove.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not looking to prove anything anywhere. I was never trying to prove anything. I was just always trying to take care of my family and look after my children, you know, and give them the best life I could. That's what I was always trying to do. And, you know, we're in a pretty good place these days. And, you know, I've got a few projects going on outside of the octagon. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love MMA, I love training, I love competition, I love learning and doing martial arts, but, you know, at some point, you've got to step away and do something else. So that's what I'm... But I might have one more. We'll see. I've got a few acting projects lined up. If they all come off, then I'll be good. If not, and I've got some time, then fuck it, I'll do one more.
Yeah, now, a lot of people were saying Nick Diaz is the fight, you versus Nick Diaz. Huh.
Yeah, I mean, Nick Diaz is awesome, so I mean, that would be great. But if I do fight, I'm probably going to fight at 205. So, making 185 is, for me, it's been hard my entire career. So, if I do fight one more time, because obviously I'm not trying to be the champion again or anything like that, so I'll fight at 205. So if Nick Diaz wants to come up to 205, it's great.
That's a big McDiaz.
I doubt it because he's at 170 normally, you know?
Yeah, no. The last fight with Kelvin, I didn't see. I had you beating GSP and I had you beating Kelvin. I was like, do you think it was just too much, too soon, too quick? And it was one of those things. Sometimes, like, if I, like, offend somebody on stage, I'm like, oh, let me just try to make up for it by doing something really less offensive. And it's actually more offensive in some ways. Was it one of those things where you're just like, you felt bad about the GSP, you're like, I have to get back in there as soon as possible?
Well, on the GSP fight in the training camp, sorry, because I am half asleep here, so
yeah.
My apologies, I'm not at my best, entertaining self.
No, but, you're great. No, I love
the GSP fight, I had an amazing training camp, and the final day, right before I flew out to New York, I got taken down and I tore cartilage in my ribs. So when I was in New York, I was getting treatment on that every day. I couldn't move. And people were like, oh, you were really stiff. You look really stiff in that fight. I'm like, yeah, no shit. That's because I couldn't move. You know, I tore my ribs, but I couldn't, you know, I wasn't going to pull out. There'd been so much hype and build up for the fight. I couldn't pull out at the last minute. So, that one didn't go to plan. And then, you know, whatever. I thought, fuck it. You know, Anderson obviously tested positive again. Kelvin needed an opponent. I was pretty confident I could beat him. I know I could beat him, you know, but no disrespect. You know, he got me. Fair play to him. Well done. It is what it is, you know. You know, you win some, you lose some.
Yeah, well, I mean, you've won a lot more than you've lost. The fight against Rockhold, it seems like you guys, do you honestly don't like him, or is it more of a show?
You know, to be honest, listen, the guy's a bit of an idiot, but I don't hold any grudges against anybody. You know, I'm not trying to make enemies in this life. And Luke, you know, I'm sure he's a decent enough guy. You know, obviously when you're the same weight class and, you know, your job is that as a fighter, you're going to talk a bit of shit. We're competitors. I'm sure if I met him under any other circumstance, I'm sure he's okay. Daniel Cormier thinks the world of him. So DC's a pretty good guy. So if DC likes him, I guess that says a lot about his character. But come on, you can't help but look at those Instagram stories and think, what a dickhead.
He's very full of himself, but he backs it up. I mean, the guy's a winner at life. So it's like, I don't mind guys.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, it doesn't stop him being a fucking douchebag, though.
Right. Now, he has that, like, he's probably the most confident guy that I've ever met. But he's a world champion, you know? So it's like, if a guy's that cocky.
He was a world champion until he got knocked out. So,
but aren't you? But, yeah, but once you become a world champion, in some ways, you're always kind of the world champion.
I know. I'm messing with it.
Yeah.
Listen, I wish you the best. You know. Yeah. I'm just having a laugh.
Of course. Now with McGregor, right? Obviously, we've heard your thoughts on McGregor. What would you do if you were Dana White right now, as far as McGregor?
You know, I mean, what can you do at the end of the day? I mean, Potter's gonna get, you know, gonna have some lawsuits on his hands, and obviously he's got these criminal charges to deal with. So, you know, he's got to pay the piper in that respect. Dana's, his hands are tied to a certain degree. You know, I mean, he's the biggest star in the company, one of the biggest stars in the world. You're not gonna fire him. You're not gonna cut him. But they're only punishing themselves. So it is what it is. If I'm Dana White, I make the Khabib fight. Simple as that. I say, listen, you have to fight Khabib next. You know, and that would be the price to pay.
Now, who do you think wins that fight?
I don't know. I would have said Khabib all day. But after that last fight, I don't know. I mean, round 3, 4, 5, I quit and was able to stop the takedown. You know, so I don't know. Honestly, I mean, I'd lean towards Khabib for sure with the wrestling. You know, but you never know. I mean, Conor is fearless on the feet and he's very, very good and he hits hard. So you never know. But there's a reason why that guy's 26-0.
But the thing about Khabib, right? So you watch him, he has his chin up straight high in the air. Isn't anybody in his camp, he's got great coaches telling him, tuck your chin? Like, why does he have his chin straight up in the air?
That fuck knows. You'd have to ask him. Because he's a wrestler. He's a wrestler that does MMA. So, you know, you learn how to box. Just like, you know, I'm a striker and I've learned how to do a little bit of wrestling. I'm sure I made plenty of mistakes when I'm wrestling, you know, but I get the job done. And maybe he's making some mistakes as a striker, but still he gets the job done. You know, I mean, he was effective. You know, you don't have to be the best striker to be effective. I mean, Dan Henderson, his striking is fucking dog shit, but he's certainly effective. You know what I mean? He can swing, if he connects with that right hand, you're fucked. You know, so, yeah, let's see, he could do with tucking his chin in a little bit, but 26-0. If you don't, ain't broke, don't fix it, I guess.
Right. No, that's it. Or you have too many yes men, which sometimes could be a problem.
Yeah, no. But everyone's trying to get better. I don't think he's surrounded by yes men. You know, he's not a striker. So when you make somebody do something they're not used to, they you know, I mean, he looks pretty comfortable anyway. But you know, you can see he's not a world class striker. But still, you know, he's still actually outstruck Iaquinta. So. You know, he's a work in progress. He's still a pretty young guy as well. So, you know, at the end of the day, he's a grappler first, a striker second.
By the way, your kid, congrats on your kid. Did he place in the States, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he came eighth. He just placed.
Eighth in California. Now, did he have a kind of a mark on him because he was Bisbing's son?
I don't know about that, to be honest. I think in some of the other tournaments leading up to it, you know, Masters and stuff like that, and CIF, he kind of did. Yeah, some of the referees kind of be dicks, if I'm honest, and he always makes you wonder, is that because he's my son? You know what I mean? So, yeah, the referee was kind of being an asshole at one time. But no, listen, he's his own person. He's a great young man. I'm very, very proud of him. He's doing his own thing. He's a great wrestler. He's a good student, you know. But, I mean, he's just doing his own thing, you know.
He's tough. He doesn't have the wrestler natural body, too.
His oldest son, right?
His oldest, Callum. Like, he's just,
yeah, I watched the video.
But he's a grinder,
he's a beast.
Huh? He's a grinder.
It's got nothing to do with Bisping last name. This kid is a beast.
No, but
this kid's really good.
And then also, isn't Mark's kid, Munoz's kid, really good, too?
Oh, yeah, no, he's amazing. He's incredible. Yeah, I think he came second at state, I think. I'm not sure. He might have won. Yeah, Munoz's kid is an absolute tricky beast. So is Callum. So is my kid. You know, hopefully next year he's going to get the first place. You know,
that's awesome.
He's going off to a wrestling camp soon. So, yeah, no, he loves it. He's absolutely obsessed with wrestling.
And now, coming from an MMA background, coming from England, which doesn't have wrestling, do you come over and look at that and you're like, oh, shit, I wish we would have had this in our public schools?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, once I started, you know, I mean, obviously I'm not on the team or anything like that, but I see what they do. I see the level of dedication and the practice that these young men put in. And the coaches are incredible. You know, I take my hat off to all of them. They give up their own free time and they really mold these young men into men, you know. Like he said, the coaches have had such a positive impact on my son. They've really helped him mature into a man, you know, and I can't thank those enough. And it's just such great life lessons, you know. So it really is incredible. I wish we did have wrestling in England, but we don't. But I guess the good side of that is that we have a shitty wrestling team. So because of that, Callum hopefully is going to represent England at the Olympics.
Oh, that'll be amazing. That's
cool. That's the plan. That's what we're working on.
That's awesome. Hell yeah. I didn't even think about that. Wow, that would be awesome.
Yeah, exactly, because we're so shit. Callum should have a good place to get in on the Olympic team.
Well, also because he's good. You don't want to just say because we're shitty, but I hear you, though.
I mean, he's placed at state as a junior, and next year he's going to win the whole goddamn thing. You know, so no, he's amazing. He's very, very, very good. You know, so I'm saying, but because of that, I mean, would he make the U.S. Olympic team? You know, I mean, that's insane to think of that. You know, you'd sound like you'd totally run away with yourself. But the U.K. team, you know, the facts are, we're just not that good. We don't wrestle. We don't have a wrestling pro.
Yeah.
The practice, the level of competition isn't there. So, yeah, I mean, there's a possibility.
That's you raise an Olympian. How fucking cool is that? Look at that. Olympic dad.
Oh, there you go. There you go. You never know. Or he develops a big drinking habit as a junior and stops wrestling altogether. So.
Oh, he's only a sophomore, your son?
No, he's a junior.
He's a junior. Oh, so next year he's going to be a senior. Okay, got it. Now, DC versus Stipe. Who do you like in this fight?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, it's a tough fight. I mean, if you look at Stipe, you know, he's knocked out a lot of good heavyweights. If he knocks out heavyweights, he could knock out Daniel Cormier. But I don't know. I don't know. I mean, DC, listen, both of these guys are going to make a ton of money, and I think it's going to be an amazing fight, you know. So I think you've got to favor Stipe, if I'm honest. I mean, best of luck to Daniel. And he, with his style, his forward pressure, you know, and of course his wrestling background, he's definitely got a really, really good chance. But I feel like it would be disrespectful to Stipe to say that Stipe also, you know, I'd put my money on Stipe, let's just say that. But it's going to be a close fight.
Has any fighter ever gotten mad at you for not picking them?
Oh, it happens all the time. You know, at the end of the day, I work on TV, and you got to make a prediction. That's our job, you know. So, prove me wrong. You know, I mean, sometimes I've had a couple of people, you know, talk a bit of shit. I can't remember who, but it is a difficult position because sometimes, like when I'm warming up for a fight, and then they play the pre-fight show. It's on the TV in the locker rooms, and then you see them talking about your fight, and then you see them pick against you. You're like, holy shit! And it kind of injects a bit of negative energy into the room. So I don't like to do that because I don't want to send negative energy to any fighters, you know, while they're about to go out there. We're sitting here at a desk in Los Angeles,
right,
you know, with a nice suit on and talking shit about their performances, you know. So you got to be respectful. But at the end of the day, as I say, we are there to make predictions.
Yeah, of course. Now, Colby Covington's he's calling in a little bit. Now, Colby went from being kind of not a no-name guy. People weren't really talking about him. He was, you know, kind of a fringe top 10 guy. Then he sort of adapted this whole kind of Chael Sonnen, Donald Trump, mixed in with Connor, mixed in with, I don't know, persona.
Baroni.
Baroni. I mean, you name him. And now people are talking about him, but not necessarily in a good way. But what are your thoughts about him?
Yeah, listen. I mean, Jesus Christ, have I said things I regret over the past? Of course I have, yeah. I probably said something I regret today. But he's a fucking idiot, let's be honest. Come on, man. Come on, look at him. He's a fucking embarrassment to himself. You see him at that press conference last week with that terrible suit on. Looked like some fucking pimp from the 80s. You know what I mean? He's terrible, man. He's terrible. He just needs to stop trying so hard. Stop trying to be a dick. Obviously, being a dick comes naturally for him, so why is he trying so fucking hard?
Right. I mean, but it has gotten him, though, like, where he is, right? I mean, it seems like a lot of these...
No. I mean, where has he got? He hasn't got anywhere yet. You know what I mean? He's had a couple of fights. He beat Damian Maia, I think. Was it Maia?
Yeah, he beat Maia.
Talked a ton of shit. Then he fucking got a boomerang chucked at his head off from Richard Verdum and then went running to the police like a little baby. You know what I mean?
That was ridiculous.
He hasn't got anywhere yet. You know, he's sitting on that press conference and talking shit. He's trying so hard to be like Conor McGregor. It's you know, listen, I don't want to sit here and talk shit, but you asked me the question.
No, well, what I don't like about, I mean, look, I've known Colby. What I don't like about Colby is when you go, Brazilians, you're a bunch of filthy animals, you're a shithole. Then you're insulting people for no reason. It's one thing to insult the person you're fighting, right? Like, you're an idiot, you're an asshole, fuck you, I don't like you as a person. When you start getting into, like, race and gender, then it's just like, come on, man.
No, absolutely, 100%. You know, if you're fighting someone at the end of the day, a few words doesn't matter. If it makes the fight interesting, if it helps you get through your day, if it motivates you in training camp, all good. If it generates hype in the fight, even better, you know. But when you're just saying things for the sake of it, to be a dick, you know, it's like, come on, man. And as you say, you can't bring people's families, race, religions, countries, all that into it. It's just, you know, there's no need for it. And Jesus Christ, that's coming from me, you know. So I've said plenty of dumb shit over the years, but I don't think I've ever attacked people just for the sake of attacking them, you know what I mean?
Right.
Generally, what happens is you're going to fight someone, they do an interview, say they think they're going to beat you, so you take offense to that, so you say something back, and the next minute it deteriorates and you're in the gutter talking shit. But, yeah, whatever, man. You know, good luck to him.
Now, I saw you in the movie with Vin Diesel. You did great, by the way.
Triple X.
Do you have an acting coach? Do you get nervous? Because, like, you know, you're not a trained actor as opposed to these other guys. Like, is it hard? Do you feel like you're kind of the new kid on the block?
Well, yeah. I mean, I have an acting coach, and I've worked at this for a long time now. I've started acting in 2009, and I've got a great agent. You know, career-wise, everything's going really well. Got a couple of another big projects coming up. We're doing another Triple X in January. But yeah, man, you know, of course I'm not a trained actor, far from it. So definitely some car crashes. I do a lot of auditions these days, and you know, when I first started auditioning, Jesus Christ, man, they were terrible. They were so bad. But you know, fortunately over the years I've learned, you know, trial and error, I guess. You know, eventually I did some acting classes, signed up to some group classes in LA, and now I have a private coach. So yeah, you know,
I thought you were great. Honestly, I thought
he was awesome.
You got to work at it. You know what I mean,
dude? I watched it on an airplane, and I was like, "Holy shit!" Like, first of all, if
you
I didn't
Triple X3 on an airplane,
yeah,
no, you got to watch it again without all the sensors.
But I was like, you know what, man? Like, you fit right in. You actually stood out as like one of the better actors on that, and you killed it, man. You absolutely killed it.
Thank you very much. Yeah, you know, I do really enjoy it. I mean, I was just down in Atlanta a couple of weeks ago. I just filmed an episode of MacGyver. You know, so I'm keeping pretty busy. My agent's doing a great job, you know. So we got big plans, but it's like anything. You got to work at it. But I do really enjoy it. I remember the first time I did a movie. It was 2009. It was an MMA movie called Beatdown. And I was like one of the fucking leads in it. I've never acted a day in my life. I was terrified. I really, really enjoyed it. And then I got good feedback from the director and stuff. He, you know, thought I had a future and whatnot. So I got myself an agent, and it just kind of went from there. You know, but I do really, really enjoy it. Of course, I've done martial arts since I was 8 years old, so I like to do all the action stuff. It's fun choreographing fight scenes and then carrying them out, doing them on camera, and then actually acting as well. It's a lot of fun. I never thought I'd hear myself saying that, but I do. I am quite passionate about it.
He had a line in Triple X 3 that basically sums up his entire fighting career, and I love it.
What
like,
was
I'll
it?
Never forget this. I think it was like near the end of the movie, and he goes, "You know me, wind me up and point me in the right direction." And I think like
that's kind of
like his whole career. It's just like, wind him up. Here you go. This is who you're fighting. You got 8 weeks to promote, and then he just goes out there and fucking win or lose, just kills the guy. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
I love it.
That's actually pretty good. Yeah, you're right. I guess that is kind of my career. Yeah, thank you.
So what's the podcast you have?
Yeah. So I do Believe You Me, and generally when I'm doing it, I'm a little more energetic than I am now. I don't know what's wrong with me. I've just come home super tired. So I'm here in Arizona by myself, and everyone's out by the pool and all this. I'm fucking lead in my bedroom.
Well, you're an old man.
Like a 6-year-old man. You know what I mean? Like a retired old man. But I just thought, I have a little nap. You know what I mean? So
I love it.
Most people are out partying or doing whatever. I'm led in my bedroom. But yeah, so I do a podcast called Believe You Me. And that's with Luis J. Gomez. And, you know, you get that on iTunes, all the usual suspects, Google Play, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, you know, of course, it's MMA driven, but we talk about whatever. Luis is a stand-up comedian from New York. Absolutely hilarious. You know him, man.
Yeah, he's and, awesome.
Yeah, between
hilarious.
The two of us, we have a good laugh, man. So if... your listeners want a good laugh, check it out. Believe You Me.
I got to say, man, when you came to my show, I was so honored. And then at the end, we hung out, me, you, it was my wife, your wife. And I was putting away chairs, and you were helping me put away chairs in this little dive bar. And I'm like, and you were the champion of the world helping me put away chairs at the bar. And I'm like, there's little things like that that really I was like, holy shit. Like a lot of guys, athletes out there would not. You're just like, fuck it. You're like, oh, help me move tables. I'm like, that meant a lot to me, man. That really meant a lot.
Well, thank you. Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Listen, at the end of the day, you know, people have got to, yeah, a lot of people get it carried away with themselves. You know what I mean? We fight in the UFC, we fucking step into a cage and we punch each other in the face. You know, so I don't know why people let them, you know, they let it get to the head. They think they get ideas about the station. We're just human beings. We're just people, and we fucking get punched in the face. We're not rocket scientists. I was at the airport last night speaking to a woman that's a rocket scientist at NASA. Now, there's someone that should be fucking proud of themselves. You know what I mean? We're fucking knuckleheads. You know what I mean? It's great, and people enjoy it and this and that. But let's keep it in perspective and remember what it is, what we do. You know, winning a belt, yeah, I mean, that's cool. That's great. It's awesome. But it doesn't change who you are as a human being or as a person. You know, so I know a lot of people will probably hear me talking like this and think, fucking hell, this isn't the Michael Bishop that we know. But the Michael Bishop that you probably do know is when I'm promoting a fight and I've got an opponent coming up, you know. At the end of the day, we're just, you know, yeah. I see some people in the UFC, I'm not going to say any names, but they let it go way to the head, man, and they think the shit don't stink, which is ridiculous.
Well, thanks, man. Thanks for coming on the podcast. Keep up the great work, and take care. Bye.
Yeah, anytime. No, my apologies. As I say, I'm half asleep here. I don't know what's wrong with me. I think someone's drunk my drink or something. But, yeah, man, Adam, keep up the good work. You're absolutely fucking hilarious. That night at the dive bar, you were, you know, fantastic, man, always. So, yeah. No, anytime, Adam, as I say, give me a call some other time. We'll do it again when I'm a little more upbeat and energetic.
No, great,
I'm
going
to take a little nap now. Nice talking to you. Keep up the good work.
You too. Take care, brother. All right. That was Michael Bisping. Fucking guy's a savage hero. Great dude. Great dude.
Yeah, man.
So, I mean, how fucking cool is Michael Bisping on our podcast? It's badass.
These are some of the bigger names that come on and that really show that we're not just this like grassroots like four.
Well, we're both
anymore.
Okay. We're both.
But we cater to all levels, yeah, all listeners, fans, whatever. It's just fun, like, and it's not the same bullshit of like, you know, when do you think you're gonna come back to fighting, and how do you feel about this? It's like just random shit, you know. Talk about the movie, talk with him, whatever. That's what separates MMA Roaster from everybody else. Yes, we're an MMA podcast, but we have fun.
Yeah.
You know, you ask questions that have literally absolutely nothing to do with MMA, but it's just like, you know what? All of their lives, it's not 24/7 MMA, and sometimes, you know, it's fun to find out about other shit that goes on.
1,000%. It's funny that like the refs are being dicks because they're not Bisping fans, and his high school wrestling. That's on his kids' wrestling coaches. That's hilarious.
Dude, his kid though, I've seen the videos and
yeah, he's a monster.
Some of the stuff. Yeah, that kid is,
and he's a super sweet kid. Like,
yeah, he seems that
just
way.
A polite, like young man that like does not like.
He's the type of guy that they'll see like. he'll be in a club or like walking down the street and somebody will try to fuck with him because of how he looks and not know who he is.
Yeah.
And then he'll just kick the shit.
It'll be over. It'll be over.
Just done.
Yeah, it'll be over. But he'll like warn the guy first. Like, hey, man.
Very much so.
All right. So we're calling this girl Sharon Jacobson, MMA dream catcher. She's a badass fighter, wrestler, tough girl. Came to my show in Colorado, at a show in Colorado. And she came, we're going to call her. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, is this Sharon Jacobson?
It is. Who is this?
This is Adam Hunter. You're on the MMA Roasted podcast. How are you doing?
Oh, hey.
Hey.
Hold on a second.
All right.
I apologize. I'm drunk. Never mind.
That's okay. How are you? Make sure you're on speaker. I don't want to get into an accident.
Hey, Adam, can you hear me?
I can hear you. How's it going, Sharon?
It's going well. How are you?
Good. I'm here with CB Gold. We just had Bisbing on. We're talking to the beautiful, talented Sharon Jacobson. You are a national champion. I looked up some of your stuff. I didn't realize you were a national champion wrestler. You were the best in the whole country,
yeah.
Huh? Now, how old were you when you won nationals?
The first time I won, I was 23. The second time, I was 32.
Damn. Wow. They have a Cougar Wrestling League? I didn't know that this is a...
Sorry.
That's awesome. Good for you. I had no idea. Where can I watch this? And do I have to wear my clothes? No, I'm kidding. No, that's great. By the way, it was good seeing you in Denver at that military show. That was pretty badass that you were there.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah, it was a good show. We really enjoyed it.
And then you're with your boyfriend. Are you still with that guy?
I am. His name is Scott.
Seemed like a very nice guy. He was into hiking. Looks like you can beat him up. So that was I was a little worried about him. but he seemed okay with that.
He's stronger than he looks.
He's with you?
No. He's not with me right now, but he's stronger than he looks.
Oh, he's stronger than
he
looks?
A smaller man, but, like, I mean, I don't know how to say that.
Got it.
Yes, this is quite damning for me. No, he's a small dude. He knows this, but he's strong. He's a rock climber, you know, like, that requires a certain amount of strength, so.
Now, I had read that you started wrestling at 16 years old. Is this true?
Yes.
So 16 years old. So where did you grow up?
I grew up in San Diego County. So El Cajon is where I started wrestling at Valhalla High School.
So it was all guys team?
Initially there were females, but we had a team at first. And then, you know, they dwindled off and there was only like two or three of us each season.
And what made you join the wrestling team?
I didn't want to take a PE class anymore, so I told if I did a sport, I wouldn't have to.
Okay, so you joined
fucking dodgeball.
Now, in the beginning, were you getting wrecked by dudes, or were you holding your own?
I mean, again, like, they may be my size or smaller, but they're strong dudes. The ones that were, like, prepubescent, I was fine with, but the... you know, the really tiny ones. But the other ones, you know, it's... We have a strong team, so it was tough always in practice, but I mostly just compete against females.
Got it. But now, when did you figure out that you were good at this? Like, was it after a couple months? Was it after a year? Tournament? When did you figure out, like, holy shit, this is something I could be really good at?
I think it was after a few months, and I just found that I had a real liking for it, you know? I competed. My sister was on the team for a time, and so at first I only wanted to wrestle her. We didn't really know what we were doing, so we just roll around, you know. But when I started competing against other girls and stuff, I was like, oh, this is good for me, and it makes me feel good, and you know,
nice.
It was good.
Now, all right. And then, were you like a party girl in high school? Were you a nerd? Were you a rocker chick?
No, I was very introverted. I was actually a little bit chubby, so that's why, my sister wanted me to join my freshman year, but I was chubby, and I don't want to wear a singlet. I don't want people touching me, you know? And then, I got tired of PE. Like, I was poor, you know? So we had to buy our uniforms, and I could only afford one, and then it got stinky, and so I was always in a class, or I'd like not wear the uniform or something else to get accepted for my grade. It was dumb.
Wow.
Stupid. So that's why I didn't want to do PE anymore. And plus, you didn't really get a workout. You like sit there and listen to them half the time, and then the other half sit around waiting your turn.
So then you're just beasting. Then you're beasting girls, and you end up getting into the University of Minnesota.
Yes.
Now, why would anyone go from San Diego, where it's beautiful and hot and warm, to miserable snow Minnesota? Why Minnesota?
I know. It was actually not the best choice. I only stayed there for a year. It was really hard. I went there because it was the original women's team in the United States. And I thought that was pretty cool. You know, and like people like Katie Downing had gone there. And just, you know, Sally Roberts went there, Sarah McMahon. There was a, you know, legacy of women who had gone there. So, like, that's where I need to be, you know?
Right.
And, yeah, it was too cold for me, too secluded. It was very opposite from San Diego.
Was Brock Lesnar there?
I grew up in a rural area, but...
No, I'm serious. Was Brock Lesnar there when you were there? Hello?
I went to the one in...
You can't talk about Brock.
It was
closer to Fargo than the city.
No, but was Brock Lesnar there?
The one in the city is, like, maybe at that time. I went there in 2002 to 2003. I never went to the main campus in the city.
Oh, you went to the other one. Right. Okay. So after Minnesota, you're like, fuck this. I'm an introverted wrestler. I don't need this shit. So you transfer to where?
Yes. Sorry.
So then where do you go there then?
Then I went and lived with my friend Katrina Best, who was a teammate of mine at Morris, and then we lived and trained with her dad's high school team, and then after that, they started the program in Northern Michigan, and I applied and I got in, so I went there.
Oh, okay, even more miserable than Minnesota. So then you're in Michigan.
It was a lot prettier.
It's a cold, cold few years. Yeah.
So you're wrestling for Michigan, you're kicking ass. Now, you're not a lesbian, which is surprising. Were a lot of the girls in the team lesbians or no?
No. I mean, maybe because it wasn't as acceptable to come out back then, but I feel like that's newer on the scene. I feel like there's more of that in fighting than wrestling, though.
More lesbians. Okay, because you seem like a very thirsty girl. So I was going to say, like, did you... What? I don't know. I was looking at the jokes you were laughing at, and they were all very inappropriate. You got that tattoo on your, side, you know.
Yeah. The tattoo on my side is a memorial piece for my high school coach.
Oh, that's nice. That's normal. Most people get memorial pieces from their high school on their side. Oh,
her coach, I think she said.
Oh, her coach?
Not her high school.
High school. I thought it was like the high school mascot or something. Oh, sorry. Okay, so then when do you join the Army? Now, didn't you join the Army?
Yeah, I joined the Army in 2008.
Oh, wow, okay. So you join the Army, and you get promoted to, like, drill sergeant right away? How the fuck did that happen?
No, I've never been a drill sergeant. I'm only an E5, a sergeant. I'm actually pretty behind for how long I've been in. But there's a number of reasons for that. But yeah, I was actually a heavy equipment operator, joined the Army, went to WCAP. I reclassed last year to a physical therapy tech, and now I'm working on getting promoted. So.
That's pretty amazing. Thank you for that. You are a hero.
No, I haven't done anything, but thank you for your support.
No. Where were you stationed?
I've been a reservist the whole time. I've just been on active duty orders while I was in school or while I was, you know, participating in WCAP as an athlete. I'm actually working with the World Class Athlete Program still. I'm as a civilian, I'm a licensed massage therapist. And I'm certified in neuromuscular massage therapy, and I'm working on getting certified in Ashiatsu barefoot massage. So I still work with them. I'm currently on active duty orders for support for that. Right. And I have a good gig. I have a good life. I get to travel with teams. I'm actually going to nationals at the end of this month to Vegas for wrestling. So.
Oh, wow. Well, good luck.
I'm not wrestling. I'm just there to support the team.
Oh, okay.
So good luck.
Now you almost made the Olympic team, right?
I tried three times. I failed three times. I think the closest I got was like fifth place.
Well, that's a lot closer than I got. So, and everybody else. That's pretty. I've been fifth in the world in America. That's pretty good.
Darn.
You suck. All right. So now we're 5-2. All right. Do we have a fight coming up in Invicta?
No, we're trying to work on something right now. I don't have anything solid right at this time, but we're working on stuff. Hopefully I'll be able to get on Invicta's next card. There's just been so much going on. Like, I was supposed to do this combative tournament, an all-army combative tournament, this week. I was supposed to leave tomorrow, and then that got canceled last minute because we needed at least a team of four, and then we could only get a team of three together for Fort Carson. And they needed a team of four because they're adding a tactical event to it, and you have to have a team. And so that kind of sucks that we can't go as individuals. But anyhow, so that got canceled. It's like a three-day tournament. So you start with grappling, and then it's pancreation, like slaps to the face, punches to the body, and grappling. And then the third day is the finals, and it's like an amateur MMA fight.
Wow.
So I competed in the Fort Carson one this past summer in August. And then, so this would have been like every post in the military bringing people in. And then there's a tournament that determines who's the best. And so I really wanted to compete in that, but it didn't, work out. So it was like next year. So then Invicta was trying to find me a fight, and then they said, oh, you can do that. This only happens, once a year. And it actually hasn't happened in a few years because the Army got weird about people getting bleeding and stuff. And they were like, oh, people are going to get hurt. No more all-Army combatives. And yeah, so I was really excited, but disappointing that things happen, right?
Right.
So now we're trying to find something else, and I'm hoping to get on Invictus card after this one.
Who do you want to fight?
Whoever's going to get into that belt.
Who do you have your eye on, though?
Well, right now, Jandaroba has the belt, so I'll fight her. But I'm pretty sure they're making me, build my way back up, because I had that loss in August. And my girl just got beat up, man.
Yeah, but you beat Jamie. I mean, you beat Jamie Moyle, who's in the UFC. It seems like every fight that you've evenly lost, you just lost that 1 second. And you got caught in a submission or anything. You've never been dominated. You never got fucked up.
Yeah.
So I mean, you're right there. You're a great fighter. You're a great athlete. You're a military woman. You're a national champion. You're hot. You got cool tattoos. You're pretty. You got all everything going for you. You got a boyfriend who's a hipster.
Hype me up every day. Send me a voice clip so I can listen to that every day.
You got all these things going for you. You're a world champ. I mean, and you're training with Rose Namajunas, right?
Off and on, I go up there. It's not very consistently, but yeah, she's a good partner. I train with Tisha more, Tisha and Raquel, which I actually haven't trained with them in a while either. It's hard because I actually have a real job, and their job is to fight, so... getting on the same schedule is sometimes difficult. But
do you want to just have the job fighting? Would that be one of your goals?
I have a really good gig, and I feel like if I walked because I walked away from this opportunity before, and it was really hard to get it again. Because in 2015, after I won nationals, because I went to nationals for fun, and I just had a fight. 2 weeks later, it was nationals, and I was on orders to be the massage therapist, and they were going to, it was like temporary orders, it was like a trial period, and then they were going to switch me over. And then they were like, well, would you rather wrestle or would you rather be the massage therapist? And I chose to wrestle, and then after that, my performance just went downhill. Mm. As we get older, we can't train the same when we were 20,
Right.
So I couldn't, my body just couldn't tolerate those practices all the time. I'm able to do this and I still perform. I feel like I did when I was 20, but I can't train that way. Being in a bent over stance, hurts.
Well, listen, I think you're awesome. My wife's pregnant. We're having a daughter. I want her to be just like you. I want her to be a fighter in the military. Yes, and maybe even like a massage. Well, no, not a massage therapist. But two out of three things I would like her to do that you do. So
that's awesome. I hope, man. That's, congratulations. That's really exciting.
Oh, thank you. Do you want to? Do you want to have kids one day?
I do. When I was a kid, I wanted 12. Then went down to 6. I'll be good with 1 or 2 now.
Yeah, just 1 or 2 is so good. Yeah, I think that makes sense.
We might have somebody for her. If the other guy doesn't work out.
Oh, Renato?
Joe the Kid.
Joe the Kid, yes. Well, listen, if it doesn't work out with Joe the Hiker, good luck.
Scott the Rock Climber.
Is there somebody else in the car right now, by the way?
Huh?
Is there someone else in the car?
No.
Sounds like there's an echo. Well, listen, good luck with everything. Thank you for coming on the show. I am a big fan of yours, and I love what you do for what you do.
Thank you so much, Adam. You're awesome, too.
No problem. Take care.
And thank you to your co-host. I'm not sure who that was.
Don't worry.
Thank you.
He's very creepy. All right, thank you. That was nice. She's a sweetheart. She's awesome. I like her. I like her a lot. Sharon Jacobson. She's the truth.
I didn't know by the name, but when I looked her up, I remember watching her fight in one of the recent Invictas, and I saw her walk out. I'm like, damn, like this girl just looks mean, man. What weight does she fight at?
I think I believe she's 15. I mean, if she beat Moyle, right? Moyle's 15.
Oh yeah. But
then she beat Deanna Bennett. But I know Deanna Bennett beat her.
25.
But I think Deanna Bennett beat her actually. That was her first fight. But she's got
Colin
some big
Colby.
Wins. Yeah, we're calling Colby Covington. I like Colby. I mean, I don't like everything he says, but
is it an act?
That's what I want to know, if it's an act. That's basically what I want to know.
Yeah, is this all kayfabe?
Yes.
Yeah, I think
it is. Hey, Colby Covington, it's Adam Hunter and CB Gold.
Yo, what's up, Adam?
How are you, man?
Good, bro. How are you? Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, I can hear you great, man. Congrats on getting the title shot for an interim belt, man. Congratulations.
Oh, shit, man. Don't tell me congrats until I actually do something and have the belt around my waist.
It's a big task. How are you preparing for Rafael Dos Anjos?
I've been preparing real hard, man. I got a different girl for each day of the week. We've been working my cardio in the bedroom, you know, doing a lot of hot tub. You know, hot tub time machine, you know, a lot of sex, you know. I got to get ready to dunk these balls on his forehead.
So you're just, so your plan is to teabag him?
No, teabag's over the eyes.
Yeah, I'm planning to teabag him right in the middle of the United Center in Chicago, you know. Michael Jordan was famous for dunking balls there. I'm going to be dunking my balls right in the middle of that arena, and people are going to know what's up.
Wait, Colby, teabag or Arabian goggles?
What's that?
Forget him. Okay, listen. So, Colby, so you're fighting Dos Anjos. Now, you can't really be training by just fucking different girls every day of the week. I mean, you're actually taking this seriously, right?
Dude, I'm not taking it serious. Why would I take it serious with this little midget, man? He couldn't beat me if I didn't train the rest of camp, man. As long as I got my cardio up, which, you know, I'm putting in 2-a-days and I'm getting it in, if you know what I mean, with the ladies. That's my workout, you know. I'm working hard. You know, I trained my whole life for this. He ain't going to show me something I already seen.
Now, who are these ladies? Just random girls from Miami?
Yeah, just random girls from Miami, you know, girls from New York, girls from all over, you know?
Just banging away. Now, it was supposed to be in Brazil.
Banging away.
And then it got moved to Chicago. Why did it get moved, and how did you feel about that?
Yeah, you know, I feel good. It got moved because they didn't want this great day in American history to be on Brazilian soil. Those filthy animals didn't deserve this. So, you know, I'm happy to give my people what they want, you know, a great day in American history.
All right, Colby, listen, me and you are friends. I like you a lot, but I don't think you really think these people they're not filthy animals, Brazilians. What do you, come on. That's the thing where it's like you're putting, grouping people together, and that's called being racist or nationalist, whatever. You don't really think that Brazilians are all filthy animals.
It's not a race, buddy.
I know it's not a race. I know that's what everyone says who's racist or a bigot. Oh, it's not a race. But I'm just saying, you're not really lumping in, you know, why do you call them filthy animals?
You know, let's be honest. Let's look at how they treat fighters when they go there. You know, I'm not the only fighter that they threw water bottles at, scream, you will die, try and grab me when I'm walking out to the octagon. You know, there's a long history of it. Look at it. You know what they did to Matt Brown. You know, the way they treat American fighters when they go over there to put on a show for them, it's disgusting. And they are filthy animals, and that place is a dump. So, you know, everybody has a different opinion, and everybody has, you know, thinks differently.
Now, but wouldn't those people, like the actual person who tried to grab you, like, okay, let's say he's a filthy animal, right? Or the other guy that yelled, you will die. That guy is, okay, you call him a filthy animal. But to lump everybody together, don't you see what that's why people are upset about that?
Not really, because, you know, I'm not the one lumping them together. If you think you were being a filthy animal, then you were. If you saw my apology after the fight, you know, I'm not grouping the people together. It's all the people that wanted to take it that way. You know, you don't have to think you're a filthy animal if you didn't think you were.
Got it. Okay. All right. So we agreed to disagree there. Now,
here we go.
Now, Dos Anjos. Now, you got into it recently with Bubba Jenkins, who's Dos Anjos' wrestling coach. What happened there?
Oh, you know, I didn't get into it. He just, you know, he's just trying to stir the pot. He's just trying to talk a little shit. But, you know, the guy has no credible source to talk shit. You know, he sounded dumb, you know, going on one of my friend from Oregon's Instagram page and trying to talk some shit like he's something big or something, you know. So, you know, it is what it is. You know, I got no ill will feelings. So Bubba, he's in Rafael's corner. Obviously, he's going to take Rafael's side, but come June 9th, he's going to know who daddy is.
Now, Colby, I'm picking you to win, man. I honestly think you have what it takes to beat Dos Anjos. I honestly do. I think you have the wrestling, the striking. I think you got a lot of. I think you have the it factor, the anger. But this dude is no joke. I mean, Dos Anjos is a fucking monster. I mean, you saw what he did to Robbie Lawler. I mean, not many guys could do that to Robbie Lawler.
Yeah, you know, I saw what he did to Jeremy Stephens too. He got melted by a featherweight. So, you know, I don't really take.
It's true.
I don't take too much into account what he's done. You know, his last three fights were hand-picked opponents, Adam. I've been trying to fight that guy from Singapore. We were supposed to fight in Singapore. He said, no, I don't want to fight Colby, blah, blah, blah. So they put him down on the card and they put me on the, you know, higher up on the card. And I got a bigger fight with Dong Hum Kim, the number six guy at the time. So, you know, RDA has been running me for a while, and I'm just glad we could finally cross horns, you know. But you know what's funny about this, Adam, is all the people that are hyping him up, oh, man, he's so good, he looks unbeatable at 170, this and that. They're going to be the same people that are saying, oh, he's a washed-up lightweight, oh, he should never have been at 170 after I beat him. So, you know, there's just a lot of hypocritical and two-faced fans in this sport, and I just look forward to hearing their excuses come June 9th in Chicago.
I definitely agree that a lot of fans are – you know, they're definitely Fairweather fans, and they're all about the next big thing. And I'm not that guy. I'm with you when you're bottom, when you're top, when you're back to the bottom, back to the top. I'm a fan of the sport and of the fighters of all different levels. What happened with Usman? I know that you and Usman don't like each other. Kamaru, he was backstage talking shit, but you didn't engage. You just stayed on your phone. Was that to piss him off more, or just because you didn't want to get into a fight there? There was security. What was the deal with that?
I mean, why would I pay attention to a little kid at the kids' table? I'm the king. I'm at the head of the big boys' table, Adam. You know, I ain't worried about that little scrub, you know. Like, UFC came up to me. They're like, hey, Colby, be on your best behavior. So, you know, I'm looking down, seeing my phone, that my fight got switched to Chicago, and he's trying to run his mouth like he's a thug or something. Like, if he's so thug and he's so hard, why didn't he touch me? Why didn't he do nothing? You know, he's all talk, Adam. He's looking for attention. You know, he's trying to bark up a tree that he's not ready for. I mean, the kid doesn't even have a ranked win yet, you know. So, you know, he's just looking for attention, looking to stir up the pot a little bit. But, you know, I ain't got nothing to do with that kid. You know, I got bigger and better things to do. I got RDA to take care of, and then Woodley's next. I'm going to unify my belt. So, you know, Kamaru Usman's got some proving to do. You know, he's three or four fights away from me at the best, you know, because after I finish RDA, you know, it's on to Woodley, and after I finish Woodley, it's going to be, you know, Thompson Till winner. So, you know, he's just trying to get some attention. You know, his manager's telling him what to do, Ali, that shady-ass fuck. So, you know, I don't really got much to say. The little kid's at the kids' table.
Now, what about Mike Perry? Is he like, what happened with you and Perry?
Oh, dude, that guy's the biggest clown in the sport. He talks his big game like he's so hard. That guy's a fucking scrub. He's got a horse face ratchet trainer. I mean, let's be honest, dude. If you listen to Perry's interviews, the guy's fucking, he's literally the product of Cousins fucking in Orlando, Florida. So the guy's a complete scrub. You know, he hasn't done anything in the sport. He just got fucking his ass beat and concussed by a guy and knocked out. So, you know, that kid's not even my level. He's going to be fighting in Indian casinos by the end of the year when I'm champion.
Well, no, definitely. I mean, you and Perry definitely don't like each other. I think they broke up, him and that the girl that was training him. I believe that she posted that they broke up his girlfriend.
I credit Colby with the steal.
Now Conor McGregor. We got to talk. Conor McGregor, obviously, we know what happened last week. He threw a dolly, you know, causing all kinds of chaos. You tweeted out that cocaine's a hell of a drug. is that what you think happened? You think he was on some kind of 4-day coke binge? You think that was a smart move on his part to get attention? What would you have done? What would you do if you were Dana White? What would you if you were on the bus? And what are your thoughts about Conor McGregor?
You know, my thoughts about Conor McGregor is he's a coked up little leprechaun. And let's be honest, you know, Adam, I've been stealing all the headlines that, you know, since I fought in October. So I've been in the headlines every month. So he had to go over and do something over the top to steal some of the headlines back. He knew Colby Chaos is the king of the headlines in the media now. So he had to go throw a dolly through a bus to get the headlines back on his side. And obviously we all know he's just looking for attention. You know, he's not looking to come back and fight. He's not looking, you know, he's got enough money in the bank. He's just looking to get some attention from the media and get some hype around him again. But, you know, my thoughts are, you know, he's a joke, man. He's a little lightweight. You know, he doesn't want none of this at welterweight. He's been talking like he's ready for 3 belts, but after I get the belt on June 9th, he's not going to say another word about 170. Mark my words.
So if you beat Rafael Dos Anjos and Woodley still isn't clear to fight because of his shoulder surgery, would you want to fight McGregor after that?
I mean, not that I'd want to fight him, but, you know, he's not going to want to fight me, man. After he sees what I do to RDA, I'm dunking my balls on RDA's face right in the middle of the United Center on pay-per-view in Chicago. And Conor McGregor's not going to want nothing to do with Colby Chaos Covington. I can assure you that. He's going to know that's a fight he has no chance to win. And we know Conor likes to handpick his fights, so he's not going to take a fight that he knows he can't win.
Now, Colby, when I first started becoming, you know, friends with you, having you on the show, you were very kind of polite, quiet. You just kind of stood your ground. You were just kind of waiting, and then you were getting no attention. You were ranked number 8, number 9. Nobody wanted you. Nobody really wanted to fight you. And then it seemed like overnight, you just sort of were like, fuck it. Something changed in you, and you started talking a lot of shit and becoming this, like, outspoken guy. What was it? Did you see the light? Did you watch? What was it that actually caused this change?
I just started being myself, man. I was holding back before, you know. I was trying to be something I wasn't, you know. I was trying to be this nice guy, this kid that everybody looks up to, this hero. And then I started thinking about it. I'm like, this isn't me, man. And let alone, we're in the octagon and we're fighting in a steel cage to take another man's brain cells. So why would I filter who I am? I'm not going to filter who I am. I'm just going to be who I am. You know, I am a supervillain. That's just who I am. And people can hate me and they can love me, but at the end of the day, they're paying to watch me. So, you know, I'm just opening up and I'm being who I really am inside.
You know what? Actually, what backs up your theory, though, not your theory, like your statement. We had Ben Askren on the podcast. And Askren said he was coaching a fighter who was going up against you and in college wrestling, and you were beating his kid. And then you went up to Ben Askren, and you're like, you don't want none of this. And Askren was the coach, not even wrestling, but you wanted to wrestle Askren at that time, who was an Olympian, which kind of backs what you're saying. Like, have you always been like this, like before MMA?
Yeah, if you go look at any of my wrestling matches in college, man, I was punking, dude. I was picking them up, slamming them, putting my feet on their back, just disrespecting them and just doing things that you know, were out of the ordinary for a wrestler. You know, I just, you know, this is how I've always been, man. I like to dominate kids and run guys in the ground. You know, I'm not here to make, you know, make people happy. You know, fuck your feelings. You know, this is the fight business. So, you know, this is who I've always been, and everybody knows this is who I really am.
Now, you were roommates with John Jones in college. It was you and John, and you guys used to beat up townies in Iowa, correct?
yeah, those were some good times.
Now, back then,
that's where we really learned to fight.
Now, back then, it was you, Jones, and then what's his name? Joe Soto. We're all living in a house together. you guys were beating up townies, and I guess you and John were friends back then, but now you're not. What happened with you and Jones?
Yeah, you know, we used to be, like, really good friends, best friends, at each other's side. We wouldn't leave each other's side. But, you know, as soon as he started doing the steroids, he started just turning into a different person. He'd have roid rages. He'd come home, and literally there'd be, like, a blanket not right in the house. Kobe, what the fuck? Ah! Start fucking roid raging out, just freaking the fuck out. I'm like, dude, chill the fuck out. And he would, like, you know, like, literally try and back me in a corner, like, with these demon fucking eyes, because that dude literally is fucking Satan's fucking little angel or Satan's son. And I just lost all my respect for him, you know? He just fucking turned into a completely different person and a fake piece of shit. And he's such a fake fuck, you know? He tried to play this role like, oh, I'm all about God, oh, this and that. No, you're fucking not, you piece of shit. He's just trying to lie to all the fans. Look at him, dude. He's too busy being on coke bingers, on steroids, fucking in the club, hitting fucking pregnant ladies and running off from the scene, almost killing a pregnant lady. And then fucking wrapping Bentleys that the UFC gave him around poles with hookers in the back. Like, oh, I thought you were a family man. That guy's a piece of shit, low-life dirtbag.
So he was doing steroids back in college, too?
Yeah, he was doing steroids back in college. He was at 197. He wanted to go up to heavyweight. So he was like, fuck, dude, let me start juicing up. I want to get up to heavyweight. So, you know, he got on this little lifting program and started doing steroids with this other kid that was in our dorm with us, this kid named Nate Willard. He was from California, so he was giving him all the inside scoop on the steroids, and they started doing all the shit, you know, HGH, testosterone, and he just fucking had roid rage. He had temper tantrums, and that's where I lost all my respect, because he would come home, you know, that if there was a dish wrong, he would just freak the fuck out. If we weren't watching TV or he wanted to play video games, he would just lose his shit, man. I'm not even lying. And that's just when I lost all my respect for him. I wanted nothing to do with him. I knew he was a piece of shit, and he was a fake, two-faced bitch.
I could see why you would feel that way. Fuck. All right. So Colby Covington, you're fighting June 9th in Chicago for the world title against Rafael Dos Anjos. Now, do you read any of the comments people are making on your Instagram, or do you even look at that?
Nah, let's be honest. You think I got time for that, Adam? I'm out here preparing for a world title. I'm with a different chick every day. I ain't got time to look at these nerds and virgins comments.
Nice. Well, listen, Colby, good luck, man. Good luck. Keep it up, man. I shocked the world, dude. Fuck it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Team Colby.
Let's do it, baby.
So good luck and thanks.
Fuck yeah, Team Adam, Team MMA roasted all day, baby.
Fuck
thanks
yeah.
For giving me a voice as always.
1,000%, man. And thanks for being on the podcast and good luck with everything, brother.
All right, man. I'll talk to you soon. Take care.
All right, that was Colby Covington. Man.
I had it written out. I was about to tweet. Colby Covington just said John Jones is the son of Satan on the MMA Roasted podcast.
I wish he was more outspoken sometimes. I think that...
I know. He just... we got to bring like the character out of him so he
fuck,
can like...
man.
I don't even think he knows who he's fighting next.
Dude,
like,
Colby Covington is a piece of work. Holy shit,
let's
man.
Just put it this way. If he does what he says he's going
which
to
he
do,
is very
which
capable
is
of doing.
Very, 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 very possible. If he beats RDA and he beats Tyron Woodley, like, you talking about soft spoken now?
He's never really been hurt in the octagon though. Like he's
no,
he's
it was been... that it was that guillotine that came out of nowhere to fucking Warley Alves.
Right, but he's never been rocked. He's never been hurt. He's got good defense, good great wrestling. But I mean, Rafael Dos Anjos is a badass. It's gonna be a good fight. It's gonna be a great fight.
I'm
gonna try to go to that fight. So CB, what do you have coming up?
You're just gonna laugh at me, but just a tattoo shop and mom and dad are leaving the country next week, so I'm staying at the house and
tattoo shop. Let's do tattoo shop for now.
Watching dogs.
Walk the dogs.
No, watching dogs.
And the name of the tattoo shop
is Graffiti Palace Tattoo, North Hollywood, California. 818-980-2235.
If you mention Roasted, what happens?
If you mention MMA Roasted, we'll give you a 10% discount on any tattoo above shop minimum. Shop minimum, $60. And I also have another career that might be blooming.
Gay porn star?
No.
Oh, what's that?
Fuck no. My mom's friend is one of like the premier dog trainers in LA, if not the country, and she wants an assistant and a way to expand her business. So she has offered to train me, and she said, you know...
Because you're one of the dogs? All right, go on. Well, okay. All right. Well,
she said, you know, things are really good right now. She's a really good dog trainer, Kimora Tolliver. Instagram is Barkers Anonymous. She's amazing. And yeah, so that's, I mean, you guys can make fun of me as much as you want, but like,
dude,
playing with dogs and puppies all day and just training them, that's like, that sounds fucking great to me, man.
Are you going
to
graft the dogs or no?
Graphing's dead, man. I'm done.
Good. All right, listen. I will be at the San Diego Comedy Palace Friday and Saturday this week in San Diego. Next Friday night, April 20th, Grand Junction, Colorado at the Avalon Theater. Harvey's in Portland, April 26th to the 29th. Off the Hook Comedy Club in Naples, Florida, May 3rd to the 6th. The House of Comedy in Minnesota, May 9th to the 13th. And that's where I'll be. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, Colby. Thank you, Bisbing. Thank you, Sharon Jacobson. Take care and have a great week. Trap, songs and trap, don't song. Түүний сонс тө хөгжим дөр булаа. Дагаж дуутан дөр булаа мөрөө.